Well, here we go. The secret to true contentment, part 15. We're about to finish up Philippians. And some of you are like, that'd be good. And others are like, man, this would be a great book because we're talking about unstoppable joy that the Holy Spirit produces in us as Christ followers. So I'm encouraged about today's text. Now, this topic, the secret to true contentment. We'll cover other thoughts in this, but that's kind of the predominant thought today. If you want to know, like, Pastor, what do you really want to nail down here? Well, I want you to think about how important contentment is. I do know this. We live in a world that's extremely discontented. I know people that are extremely discontented. It might be that you're discontented. There's just so many ways that we try to find contentment. And one thing that we do is we always compare ourselves. And I promise you, if you don't want to have contentment, compare yourself to somebody else. It is guaranteed to give you discontentment, and I'll go there a little bit later. But the Apostle Paul, before he gets in this contentment situation, he really begins to address the subjects that we need to hear. So let's just look at the text here, starting there in verse 10. I made a mistake. I wrote through verse 23. We'll finish that up in the next time we do Philippians. But we're going 10 through 18. So look there in God's Word, Philippians 4, starting in verse 10. How I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. So he starts off with this attitude of joy, of rejoicing and praise. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing with everything I've learned, the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you have done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news. And then I traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say that because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At that moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They're a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and they're pleasing to God. Now, we find this little section, and it has so many things to unpack. So let's go. Number one. Here he is, Zach. First one. Paul is extremely affirming. He affirms Christ. He affirms the joy that the Lord provides, and he rejoices in him. Remember when we go back a few months ago when we started this series, Paul finds himself in this Philippian jail. He's incarcerated. He's under house arrest. Not very good, but man, he's proclaiming the gospel to Praetorian guards and all these people that have great influence in the kingdom. And God's got him there. So he's like, hey, I want to affirm this. I want to greatly rejoice in God. Now, let's just stop there. This is a time to rejoice, isn't it? I mean, it's 2023. We're healthy. We're out of the COVID season, although why'd y'all have to bring it up today? But it's nothing like it used to be. Honestly, when people tell me today they got COVID, I think they got the flu. Yeah. For the most part, that's the case. I mean, I've seen the flu a lot worse than COVID, but, you know, we want to pray for those. Dan, just let me know. His dad's like 91, young guy. His dad's amazing. Still drives an RV at 91. He's pretty sharp. And he's got COVID, and we're praying that sweet Sandy doesn't get COVID, and that he'll heal, and for Deb and others. But here's the thing. So he's affirming, he's rejoicing in the Lord. But here's the thought. He greatly rejoices in the Lord's providence. And when I say the word providence, it just means really the protective care of God Almighty, the guardianship of the Lord. That's what he rejoices in, that because Paul already addressed in this note here that he knows that God is going to provide. He knows that God is going to care for him. How many of you are confident this morning that you affirm that God is in charge, that God cares for you? He does. Man, you could have cancer. You could be eaten up. He's provided eternal life in Christ Jesus. He's provided a bed. He's provided care. It could be you just had a healing from some sickness. You just lost a loved one. I don't know where you find yourself on the spectrum of life, but God's enough. And he's like, hey, so Paul just brings us back to that. So he says here, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at last you've revived your concern to think for me. See, sometimes we lack opportunity. There's no season. But these people took the season to rejoice. They took the season to provide for Paul. And remember what I taught you when we were selling our big campus and life seemed really upside down and we lost our big congregation, but I said, Don and I are committed to loving you at the table and I'm going to shift gears and do some other things, speaking and missions and all that other stuff. But I said, I know God's going to care for us. You know what? God has provided greatly. Is he not a great God? Can I just give him some praise? Yeah, it's awesome. He's good. Because we always said, I love it. Y'all are clapping. And we always said, God, the church is not so much a building. It's always been a people. And I promise you, these people at Philippi, man, they were grateful, and they invested, and we'll see this a little bit later. So as I look there, they had a season to give. They were a sweet church that generously supported Paul when he left Philippi to go and minister in Thessalonica, Berea, different regions that Paul always found himself proclaiming Christ. So, but you know, the Philippians, the Bible teaches they were impoverished, they were financially insecure, they were greatly poor, they were stretched. They were marginalized. They might have been homeless. I don't know. It was a tough church, but man, they had big hearts. Do you think you always have to be a big church to have a big heart? I know some big churches that are greedy. You know, and their hearts, like, you know, we still give in a huge way to missions and we support things because we believe, hey, it's a lot bigger than just the ones that gather here. Hey, I want to give y'all greetings from Columbus, Georgia, from St. Luke. I spoke there Thursday night to a big men's event. Chuck Bolton and Chrissy, he's there. Chuck is on staff. He's their missions pastor. I was Chuck's pastor for 20, 25 years. I am so proud of what God's doing in him. And they have an amazing work. And they had all these men. I spoke to 80 men in this fabulous place. They had an executive chef on their staff. Made one of the best chocolate cakes I've ever had. And, hey, I want to tell y'all something. Don't tell Donna. Oh, she's right there. I had a piece of chocolate cake before I got up. It was right there. But I was right on target. I really was. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm ADDDDDDDD. And my wife just let me have chocolate before I preach at home. But I participated tonight. And it was great, man. God was so good. Because I was just, Don, I was thinking about you the whole time. I said, God, keep me in the lane. Keep me in the lane. Keep me in the lane. And man, we had a great night in the Lord. And we got to the end. And all these men, and I, you know me, I just love to get with men. I love to speak to men. I said, hey, guys, I'm kind of got a man shortage in my church. I said, the church I fellowship, we're outnumbered 3-1 by the women. And as all these men, they were from 16 to 92. It was awesome. We had this great time. And then I just, and they're a little more formal church. They have a traditional and a contemporary. And I finally just called out. I said, hey, guys, I want you to know, I want to pray for some of you. And I invited the pastor and the associate pastor. I said, hey, we want to be here. And they never had anything like this. Men started getting up out of their chairs and coming for prayer. And I looked over at Chuck, and he's just crying. We got through. He goes, you're not going to believe what the Holy Spirit did. I know them and them and them, and they're struggling. They're doing this. He goes, they don't move at all. Hey, he's a great God, is he not? I mean, who am I? I mean, he used a donkey one time, so I guess he could use Keith. You know what I'm saying? So, all right, so here we go. So there's a season for everything. Paul here in this tough situation, and Paul had in mind here, he had a mind for them. He loved them. But they had a heart for Paul. They'd probably come to faith in Christ under the leadership, under the teaching, under the discipleship of Paul himself. So his providence, his provision was so great. He's affirming. I love this. In Epaphroditus, he was the one that got to take the gift to him. And so, you know, we know that God provides. In the Old Testament, remember when I did that thing about lemons to lemonade and I talked about Joseph? God providentially raised him to be, you know, like prime minister of the land, and he was the major leader. And then that passage, remember Genesis 50:20? Let me remind you. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. And then, I love this one. This is the greatest story, the story of Esther, and it's Esther 4:14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not attained royalty for such a time as this. How many of you believe for such a time as this, this is where you're placed? This is where you're positioned. Do y'all believe God positions you where he put you? The scripture in Acts, I don't remember the exact address right now. It might be, Donna, was it Acts 17, 26? The one we had in our, yeah, is it Acts 17? I think it is. And God even knows where we're going to live. Some of you are like, oh, why don't he give me a better house than if he knew I was going to live here? But God put you there. And God put you in the place of work. And God put you, he put you in the family you're in. How many of you are glad you're in the family you're in? I mean, all of you are supposed to raise your hands, okay? This is a time of rejoicing. So you're already comparing, going, I'm discontent. I want to be in their family. Well, your family's probably thinking they want you in another family. No, I'm kidding. All right. So here's a question. Just think of that. Do you rely on God's providence? Do you rely on God's care, provision, guardianship in your life? And I hope you go, yeah, well, of course I do. Because circumstances come, go, fade, drift, change. But the plans of the Lord don't change. He's never changing. I love it about God. He's immovable. He's steadfast. And he doesn't change. He's constant. He's secure. Have you ever been through changes in your life? How many been through changes this week? Yeah, life just changes. Hey, when you get older, have you just noticed sometimes you get up and your body does just not work the way it did last month? Yeah, it's amazing. So things are always changing physically. They change emotionally. They change relationally. Has anybody's, you know, your life could have changed financially in the last couple of years? I mean, things are just always changing. But, huh? Yeah, well, we didn't want to know how much, but yeah, downhill. Okay, you're right. All right, let's look at the next one. I love it. Y'all are honest. You know, again, this week, somebody came to me and go, man, I'm listening to the podcast, and you're always talking to the people. But you know what it does? It invites people to pull a seat up to the table and listen. All right, number two. Paul's contented. He fought for contentment. You see, because we are discontent, but I want to give you, here it is. What's contentment? It's a state of the heart and mind. It's a restfulness. It's a place of trust. Peace in the midst of plenty or want. You see, what we do is we don't sometimes so much get content, we covet. You write down that word. We covet, we want what somebody else has, or we are content in what we have. And every time I'm not content, it's because I've got my eyes on something else and not on Jesus. And if I got my eyes on him, then the rest of it tends to kind of shake out and it goes right. Kind of seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all other stuff gets added. So, Lord, help us to realize that you're sufficient. Your supremacy is above all things. And I'll be transformed by that truth. Lord, don't let me and my friends be so discontented. Matter of fact, when Paul here, you know what the scripture says? I want you to know this. You're not born content. Did you know that? Yeah. You're born a sinner. You're born a fallen nature. You need Christ. You're not born content. Paul, the erudite, individual, intellectual, passionate proclaimer of the gospel, said this. I have learned to be content. Circle that word in your Bible. He learned it. You and I can learn to be content as we trust in Christ, in his providence, in his provision. Here's one over in John 21. Jesus tells Peter, this story. Listen, he goes, follow me. And Peter turned and saw the disciples who Jesus loved was following them. And by the way, that would be John. And when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You, Peter, must follow me. I love that. You know, King Jesus can call somebody out in a nanosecond. But I think he always does it with compassion. But here's the thing. Well, what about John? How about Jill? How about Susie? How about them? Y'all ever say that? Well, what about them? You know what Jill told me this morning? I said, please tell me you're going to be here for our widow's luncheon. We're doing a special widow's luncheon. I'm so excited about it. It's December 7th. Yeah, that's it. And you'll be getting invitations on that widow's. And I said, you're going to be here? She goes, well, I am. She goes, the next day, though, I'm leaving on a cruise. And then she started telling me about her cruise. And I'm in my spirit going, what about me, Lord? What about me? I want to go. I'm sitting there thinking about Christmas season and no musicians and all of a sudden, like, Lord, what about me? What about me? And then Jill, she was telling me about how marvelous, and she's going to be sitting at a special table where only 10 people are invited, and she's going to have this phenomenal meal. And you know what I did? I just gave thanks. I said, God, thank you for providing that for Jill. She deserves that, Lord. Thank you for blessing her. And I'm happy. I'm going to be praying for her. And she really made me happy when she told me she's going to be at the widow's luncheon. Because it's going to marvel your cruise. No. It won't be like, hey, don't expect that. I almost told you the menu, but it won't be what you're going to eat. But it'll be good. I mean, Hardee's has really good hamburgers. No, we're not doing that. Okay. They really do. Okay. I just say, oh, what'd you split the church over? Well, we started talking about hamburgers and everybody got upset. Okay, all right. So what about me? What about me, Lord? And he's like, man, I'm sufficient because I believe that God's got a different plan for every single person because we're uniquely made in the image of Christ. And we got to follow God's plan for our life. As a preacher, I've been a pastor now 42 years, and I love, matter of fact, I'm celebrating, I'm completing 42 years right now. I love it. And I love being a proclaimer of the gospel of Christ. It's amazing. But over the years, I've got caught up in this. Well, what about them? What about their gifts? Oh, their gifts. Yeah, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. There's only one me. And somebody said, praise Jesus. But I got to be the best version that God's made me, letting me submit and yield, being conformed to the image of Christ. And you got to be the best person that God's created you to be, being like Christ. And you present Christ as he lives through your personality and he transforms your life and God gets glory. Amen? It's exhausting trying to be like somebody else. I remember when I used to want to be like Billy Graham and I'd practice that. Then I wanted to be like this speaker. Then I wanted to be like that speaker. Oh, man, you just got to be you. Well, you don't have to get upset. No, she had to go somewhere. Okay, all right. So comparing discontentment, they're ultimately, I want you to write down this thought. This is important. Comparing and discontentment are ultimately an insult to the Savior. Have you ever thought about that? When I'm not content, I'm insulting Jesus. I'm saying, Jesus, you're not enough. How you've made me, how you've created me, how you've positioned me here, that's not enough. Instead of saying, God, you have me in this area, this location, this sphere to have influence for Christ. Let my light shine. Hebrews 13:5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. And then 1 Timothy 6:6-8, listen what young Timothy, the disciple of Paul, says. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it. But we have food and clothing. We'll be content with that. So Paul boldly affirmed that he was content in what God had provided. Isn't this a good word today about, being satisfied, not being frustrated? See, you can only be one of the two. I'm satisfied. God, I'm satisfied with you. God, I am frustrated. So we exchange it. It's a great exchange. I like to talk about the exchange around here at the table, not being so susceptible to comparing myself with everybody else and upset. 2 Corinthians 12:10, one more passage here. Well content with weakness, with insults, distresses, with persecutions and difficulties for Christ's sake. Paul was always content. Paul, you think Paul might have lived this lavish, awesome life. Paul lived a hard life for the sake of the gospel. Paul suffered immensely for the sake of the gospel. But I promise you, Paul has received and will receive his reward greatly, for he endured to the end and he finished the good fight of faith. Amen? And we fight the good fight and we keep on and we help each other and we cheer each other on to the faith, to the conquest of what God's got for us. It's the great quest of God. We're seeking him. We're pursuing God together at the table. I got to tell those people the other night about the table, how much I love the table and the wonderful people that gather at the table. Of course, when I say the table, people, it's kind of neat. Like, we've always been Christ Community Church, and that's our corporate blah, 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 the bylaws and all that. So we'll all be Christ Community Church, but we're the table. And it's just been fun because when I say the table, people, they want to know more. They want to know if I'm a waiter. they want to know the table. What's the table? Well, I am. We are waiters. We serve the Lord Jesus. And then I talk about the table of the Lamb, and they go, that's rich. I'm like, well, I got it from Scripture. the table is kind of big to God. All right, look at this. Affirming, contented, 3. He's flexible. Paul was extremely flexible. How about you and I today? I keep moving because we've got to get to the table of communion today. But I ask you, are you flexible with the things of God? Are you flexible about what God's doing in your life? Are you whining about it? Are you complaining? And then look at the fourth one. Paul was confident. I love this. He had this amazing confidence. He had the power to face difficulty in the situations, the circumstances of life. It didn't matter what came Paul's way. He found his confidence. And I know that because there's a verse that gets misquoted. It gets out of context. And it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And everybody puts it on t-shirts and mugs and screensavers, and it's a great verse, but it doesn't mean I can do all things through Christ. Guys, let me just tell you, I used to be 6 foot tall. I'm shrinking a little bit, just a little bit. So I remember when the last time my doctor had a physical, and I said, I'm 6 foot, and then he measured me, and he didn't say 6 foot, and I almost punched him. I went, what are you talking about? I'm 6. He goes, well, you're not. You're not anymore. Okay. But you know what? There's one thing I cannot do. I have never been able to dunk a basketball. I'm never going to be able to dunk a basketball. This boy can't jump, okay? But I can quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go and I can leap mountains and I can dunk the basketball. It don't matter how much I quote that verse. I can wear it on my t-shirt. I'm not going to dunk. You know what I'm saying? So that's not what the verse means, but it means you can be confident in the power that sustains you for Christ to do and endure the hardships and the difficulties and the challenges that God puts in your way. How many believe you are strengthened to go through whatever God allows you to go through? And there's some tough things in this life you go through. Hey, let me tell y'all something. As we get older, I'm learning something. They come up with these medical procedures to do stuff to us. I didn't know they did that to the body. Huh? Y'all know what I'm doing? And you don't tell me Christ ain't enough, that Christ isn't sufficient. I'm sorry. I know I just ran on you a parade back there, Zach, you and April. I'm sorry. But it's just scary. Some of the things I say, we're going to do this to you. I go, am I going to be asleep? That's my number one question. I just want to, will I be asleep? And when they go, we're going to give you propofol and you're going to sleep, I go, hallelujah. It's the best sleep I have when I have my colonoscopy. I promise you, that's the only good sleep I have all year. And now I'm on the every 2 year program since I had to have my colon resection. I'm not excited about that, but I'm excited about propofol. Let's keep moving on. Okay. Finding God's, I can't believe I said that. But I told the truth. You ever had it before? I understand why Michael Jackson got hooked. I really do. Shame on his doctor for being unethical and not doing the right thing. But I do understand. All right, so Christ strengthens, he empowers, he enables us to do the things that God's called us to. He's patient, he gives us perseverance in hopeless situations. Here's a thought just, Paul's nevertheless, he's content because God is with him. And one way he knows that is the people there provide a great gift. They provide for him when he has a lack, when he has a need. They're loving, they're caring. He says, whatever circumstances, whatever situations I find myself in, I fellowship with Christ. I'm united with him. I have fellowship with you. Jesus helps me. He's with me. His strength sustains me through those challenges. So I go through it. So make God, you can write in there, make God my confidence. Let him sustain you, whatever he has for you. Here's just some confessions. In Jesus Christ, I am content. I will not seek meaning to what I own or what I have. I find purpose and satisfaction in Jesus Christ. Fourth, I am content in every situation in Christ because Christ is for me. Is that truth that I just declared then? They are. They're ones we need to hold on to. And look at the fifth one. Let's move on. Financial generosity is called for. That's called for is a partnership, okay? It's a partnership. They had this purposeful commitment to the church at Philippi, to the Apostle Paul. And we're to have commitments, and we're to be generous, and we're to share, and it meets needs. And we give from the heart. These people here, they gave beyond their means. So when we call you, and we invite you as a scripture to tithe and to give. It's being obedient to the Lord. And God provides. And it's amazing what he even does in your life. And I hate prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm saying. I don't say I give to get. I give because it's obedient. I give because it fills me with joy. I give because it honors Christ. But God will meet our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, which I'll talk about in a couple weeks on this thing. But giving generously, here's a thought I wrote down here. Giving generously is an eternal investment. I don't know about you. I don't have a state or a federal or any of those kind of retirements. I'm tied to the market. That's how Don and I will retire one day. And our investments, and if you have any investments, they haven't done very well the last 2 years. Can I hear a big amen? Amen. I don't want to get political, but I'm not real happy. That's all I'll say. Okay. And giving, but giving is an investment in eternity. And so when we give to the kingdom. It's heaven's bank. You know, that's the only bank I really trust. I trust in heaven's bank. I make deposits. I give those gifts to the future. I give those gifts to the glory of God. I give those gifts to the future. And so it's not what we save that we keep. It's what we give. And the church said, we give it away. We give it away for Christ. This season, we're going to have new challenges. Y'all just did all the shoe boxes. Praise God, women. We're getting ready to do sleeping bags or whatever again. I wish Paul. I could call him Paul. I wish Pat was here so we could talk more about, like y'all know that we have a tremendous need in this region, that we don't have a Salvation Army anymore. We don't have headquarters. They only have Friendship Mission, and it's over capacity. That we're in dire needs in this region. So I can only imagine a sleeping bag is going to be like gold this year like it's never been. So maybe we'll do that drive. You know, last year we gave away a bunch of sleeping bags. I know Don and I got excited about giving to that. Hopefully you will if we do that. Different things. But I heard this story about giving. We give. Here's something we give. There was this guy. He's a retired Marine, and he worked security for George W. Bush when he was a president, and he was a spotter for the president. He would go in the weight room, and he was a spotter. I'm thinking, what a great federal job. Can you imagine that's your job? You go in there and spot the president. So he would. And every once in a while, he would lean over to the president, and he would say this. He goes, Mr. President, I just want you to know, the folks in my church are praying for you every day, Mr. President. And the story goes that the president turned to this friend. He looked him straight in the eye, and he said, would you give them a message for me? And he leaned in. He listened closely. He goes, you tell them that the president is deeply grateful. And there's nothing greater than they could do for me than pray. We need to pray, church. That's what we get to do as Christians. We get to go to the throne room of God for one another. This morning we started the service going to the throne room on people's behalf. Every time you pray. And I just got to say this because it makes me think, and I wish I had another hour with you. But here's what I'll say to you. Today is really about gratitude too. Thanksgiving's coming. Gratitude. Paul exhibited gratefulness. He was grateful. When you're sitting around the table with your loved ones or family and friends on Thursday, be grateful. But be grateful today. Be grateful tomorrow. Be grateful next week. Just be grateful. You know what Christians do? They thank people. Remember the lepers, the 10 lepers, and only one returned? And he says, where are the nine? Oh, you be the one. You be the one that's always saying, man, I'm exhibiting gratefulness. I'm exhibiting thankfulness to the Savior. It just honors Christ. So God, we want to sacrifice. We want to have sacrificial commitment. Because joy and generosity transform a life. Do they not? And that's what Paul's been teaching all through this series. Joy, joy, joy. Joy in the Lord. I got joy in Him. Joy that fills me to the brim. It's overflowing. I'm full. You know, that's what I pray for you and me today. We're full. I pray you leave here full spiritually today. And you go home or you leave here and you go eat lunch or something. I hope you get full again. But you know, that fullness will wane, and you'll get ready for dinner. And then you'll get up in the morning and be ready to eat again. Well, spiritually is the same way. I can't give you enough on Sunday to sustain you for the week. You got to have an intake of God's Word every day. And the church said, amen. So God, providence, care, I trust in your provision, God. I'm grateful with a grateful heart. I come. I'm going to go to the table. And look at this one. 6, sacrificial commitment is required. Sacrificial commitment. That's what I see here. These people, they were poor, they were impoverished, as I told you, but they wanted to participate, they wanted to partner in the gospel with Paul. And Paul wanted them, Paul wasn't so, he wasn't about him. He wanted their account in heaven to be rich because they sacrificed. So church, let me just tell you, make your sacrificial commitments to Christ every day as you serve Him. Make your commitments to the church as you give because you honor Christ. Today, we're going to come to this table. And when we come to the table, the greatest sacrifice ever made was made for this table to happen. Christ gave His life freely, once and for all, made sacrifice, propitiation, our sins, might be taken away. We might be cleansed forever. So, Lord, we love your heart here. We love this commitment that you gave. Contentment is a sweet, inward matter of the heart. So my word today would just be content in Christ. Be grateful in your heart. And Don and I pray that this Thanksgiving will be so rich and full and meaningful for you. As we get older and as you get older, traditions change. I'm a contemporary pastor. I've been about change. Change used to be one of our key words at Christ Community. I still love change, but I found out something a few years ago, and Donna called me out on it, and she was so right. She goes, you love change so much, but there's some things you don't like changing. It's Christmas. I don't like sharing my kids at Christmas. I allowed them to get married and gave them away to some godly men that I love. However, had I known what I know now,
you still would have done the same thing.
I still would have done the same thing because they gave me blessed grandchildren. But I don't have all them sitting around the table. Some years we have some years we don't. We split, we share. The name of the Lord is to be praised. Seasons change. Life's always changing. You know what? I can still pick up a fork and you can look at me and I can eat. You know, that might change one day. But today, we're going to go to the table of the Lamb, and we're going to do it in six. Remember, we do it in groups of six here. So, and y'all help because it moves it. So six sit down and don't go, oh, I think I'll take three. You mess it up. Just make sure you got people standing in line ready to go. But I love the table. So here's my thought here. He invites us to his table today, okay? And it's in profound gratitude as the Apostle Paul was thankful for the gift there. We are thankful that Jesus invites us as his kids to his table. We take a piece of bread, we take the cup of juice, and we quietly consume these gifts, these means of grace before the Father. And we celebrate and we join in with the body of Christ as we receive the elements of grace. So on the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, the cup is a new covenant between God and is sealed by the shedding of my blood. Do this often in remembrance of me. In that spirit, we go to the Lord's table. Lord Jesus, consecrate these elements, and we receive them by faith. Hey, right now, bow your heads and ask the Lord to search your heart. And if he shows you any sins, confess them quickly to the Lord. And be assured that if you will confess your sins, he is faithful and just, and he will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you claim to be a child of God, trusting in Christ alone, come to this table. This is a believer's table. In Jesus' name, amen.